1-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-
Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we inform you about a deterrence topic and its value in preserving peace. We hope you enjoy this show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Jim Petrosky on the NIDS Podcasting Network. I hope you find this show informative and entertaining as you continue to think deterrence. This show is the last in my series on health effects of radiation. To orient you, our beloved listener, on what has brought us to this point, it all started in episode 55 when I discussed radioactivity as part of a larger discussion on describing fallout from nuclear weapons, which I did in episode 57. After that episode, I was asked by a dear listener about the health effects of natural radiation, which I covered in two excellent shows, episodes 63 and 67. Today, I conclude my description to reduce health effects from radiation and will relate it to reducing the health effects from fallout. So, let's begin. In radiation safety, a common approach to reducing risk is through the three-word concept of time, distance, and shielding. Risk is reduced when exposures are reduced in time, or in other words, you spend little time in an area with an elevated exposure. A simple example I often use is touching a hot surface, such as a hot iron. If I must touch it, and I do not want to get burned, then if I touch it for a very short period, my chance of getting burned is greatly reduced. Why I would want to touch a hot iron? Well, that is beyond me and perhaps a good subject for a future show titled Crazy Things People Do on a Dare. Now applying this concept to fallout, if you must travel through an area with a high exposure due to fallout, you should do so rapidly to reduce exposure. Risk is also reduced when you increase your distance from the source. I can again provide a heat analogy because if a fire is exceptionally hot, then one way to reduce the severity of a burn is to move away from the source. As the further away from it you go, the less heat you absorb. The same is true for radiation. The farther away from the source, the less severe the damage. Regarding fallout, if you must move through an area with fallout on the ground and you just happen to be riding in a double-decker bus, yes, this is one of those realistic scenarios, you would reduce your exposure by riding on the second level, thus increasing your distance from the source, which is on the ground. Stay tuned for more practical examples later in the show. Now, risk is reduced by increasing shielding as well. The heat analogy is again appropriate here. If I had to touch a hot iron, again, I have no reason why I would do so, and not get burned, an option is to wear a protective glove, which would shield me from the heat. Now, the choice of the glove and its material content is important, as I do not want a glove that allows the heat to transfer, such as a glove made of thin aluminum. Where would I buy such a thing? Instead, I want a glove that resists the heat transfer to my hand, such as one made of cloth or silicone. A very similar concept exists for radiation, but it's much, much less intuitive, since radiation shielding effectiveness is dependent upon the type of radiation. For example, a piece of paper will stop most alpha particles, but paper is ineffective against gamma rays. And lead is effective against gamma and X-rays, but is not as effective against neutrons. Thus, the type of shielding matters, and the thicker the better. From a practical standpoint regarding fallout, much of the radiation emitted is due to gamma radiation. So, if you have to walk across the place where there is radiation on the ground, boots with lead soles would be preferential to those with normal soles from a shielding standpoint. But then there's the time problem. as wearing lead boots would slow you down. Increasing exposure time, and if you wanted to increase distance, the source on ground, maybe lead boots on stilts? Ugh. I don't know. Now, though, you can see what appears to be a simple concept, time, distance, and shielding, is a little bit more complex when practical matters are in play. So here is a practical guide for you. Using information from the U.S. Health and Human Services.gov site that I listed on the podcast description, I provide two assessments using the House and Human Services recommendations and a time, distance, and shielding concept. The Health and Human Services states that the initial fallout consideration following a nuclear detonation is that of external exposure. They suggest self-decontamination by changing clothes and washing contamination immediately. Doing this immediately reduces time, and the washing separates you from the radioactive source, thus increasing distance. This is certainly more practical than my examples. Health and Human Services also states that sheltering inside a brick or concrete building is preferential to a veneer wood building, since wood is a poor shield for gamma rays. Additionally, they suggest you move to an interior part of the building, preferably in the middle floor of a multi-story building, providing great distance. Additionally, they recommend not to shelter inside a car, which offers little shielding, because metal does poorly against shielding gammas. There's so much more at the Health and Human Services Radiation Emergency Management site on fallout management if you're interested. Again, I included the URL with this podcast description. So, now armed with an understanding of the concepts from this podcast, the entire series I gave, in fact, the entire NIDS podcasting network of shows, you can feel much smarter and can understand the reasons for the recommendations from the Health and Human Services site and be better prepared. Plus, you will not need to buy a pair of lead boots.
Thank you for listening to NIDS Knowledge. This show is produced under the NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent upon donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I would like to thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.
A production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies.